Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I am going to talk about a great myth that people who are not lawyers often get tripped up by, and that is hearsay. That's right, it's hearsay. What I'm saying right now is hearsay. I've heard that sometimes people get tripped up by this. Hearsay. Now, just a warning before I come to the acknowledgement of country and the usual parts of this podcast, it's going to get really mind-bendy about halfway through, so please don't think that you've accidentally eaten psychedelic mushrooms. Sometimes the law of hearsay is really complex and convoluted, and I'll just ask you to bear with me. We'll float through this dream or nightmare together. Hopefully it will all become clear. So that's just a warning for some twisty, mind-bendy content coming up in this podcast. This is going to be another very short and sweet episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast, and I want to acknowledge that I'm recording this podcast on the land of the Ngunnawal people, and I pay my respects to their elders past and present. Now, when people just in general conversation talk about something being hearsay, they're often talking about something being a rumour or something that's been repeated by several people, and you can't really trace it back to its source. And the reason why some people object in normal conversation, they say, well, that's hearsay, is because it's seen as something unreliable. And historically, the courts, as we've talked about in previous episodes of this podcast, have put at the very highest level of evidence oral testimony that's given in court, and other things are seen as a little bit suspect, or perhaps they carry less weight. And so the way people talk about hearsay out in the community as though it's something unreliable, that's pretty accurate as to how the courts deal with it as well. But the thing that people get wrong, or the myth of hearsay, if you will, is that often people out in the community think that there's no way that hearsay can ever go before the court, that just full stop, if it's hearsay, it's out. So I'm going to talk about one or two different ways that hearsay might get before the court, and just explain that the hearsay as being a cause for something to be kept out of court altogether, well, that's just a myth. It's based on some truth, but it's actually a myth. So one of the key ways that the uniform evidence law, which operates in a number of Australian states and territories, works, is that it lets in certain kinds of hearsay just as a matter of course. One of the key things that it lets in are business records. So that might be things like statements of account, profit and loss records. It might be records of the number of documents that were printed on a given day. It might be the number of units of a particular product that were created. It might be routine testing that's done in certain manufacturing processes to check that things are safe. It might be all sorts of things that are just routine parts of the business. As a matter of course, those things are generally let in to court. Even though they are hearsay, they're not statements that were given in court. They were things that were created out of court. They have to be genuine business records, though. They can't be things that have just been put together for the purposes of the litigation. So they really need to be actual records. And when I say actual records, they also need to be authentic. If there's any question about whether they're real or not, well, that's a threshold issue that has to be dealt with. But isn't it interesting? Something as common as business records can actually get into the court as an exception of the hearsay rule. Another thing that is an absolute mind bender and that defies the hearsay rule are statements that are used for a non-hearsay purpose. Now, what the heck does that mean? A really good example that I've seen is dealing with the issue of defamation. And this example that I've seen comes from an excellent book. It's called Uniform Evidence Law, 3rd edition by David Field. It's a question and answer book printed by LexisNexis, published by LexisNexis. So it's actually geared to give people a good understanding. And so I'm going to just shamelessly borrow from that now that I've credited it. So as I said, oftentimes hearsay is used, or lawyers want it to be used, as evidence of the truth of something that's been said. Now, that might not make sense when I say it that way. All right, I'm going to start quoting because it's going to get heaps easier. If, by contrast, the importance of the statement is simply the fact that it was made, then this is not hearsay at all, and we call it original evidence. And the author goes on to give a really good example, okay? So for example, the statement by Peter that I saw John beat his wife must be given by Peter and no one else if it is sought to prove that John did indeed beat his wife. This is a terrible example. It's a bit sad, but anyway, let's keep going with it. But if John is suing Peter for defamation as the result of Peter's assertion that John beat his wife, then it is the fact that Peter said it that needs to be proved. And the evidence of anyone who heard it will suffice for that purpose. So what does this mean? It means that sometimes evidence might be given in court about what a witness heard another person say. Sometimes the lawyers are going to be trying to use that as, I heard this person say it, therefore it's true. Sometimes people are going to be simply using the evidence to go only as far as, I heard this person say it. You might be wondering why this would ever happen. Well, the defamation reasoning is one particular reason. Sometimes examples are also given of an armed robbery where someone's carrying a weapon and you just don't know what other people knew about whether it was loaded or not. So perhaps one person might have heard the accused person say, it's loaded and I'm not afraid to use it. Now that might be going before the court not as evidence that the gun was actually loaded, but as evidence that the accused person made that threat. It might turn out that the gun wasn't actually loaded, but the fact that they made that threat, they said it's loaded and I'm not afraid to use it, that might become really important in the particular matter. So this is a bit of a twisty one hearsay, but let's just finish up this very short, sharp episode with the fact that it's a myth that hearsay can never be used. And there are some very interesting ways that it can come before the courts. There are some very straightforward ways, including business records. There are some other very straightforward ways that I haven't talked about because I'd need to go into fairly technical aspects of the law. But the most interesting way that it can slide in there, in my view, even though it's quite complicated to wrap your head around, is when it's being used for a non-hearsay purpose, which is what we've gone into for the bulk of this particular episode. If you can say hearsay for a non-hearsay purpose, then you have successfully completed this episode's tongue twister. If this has hurt your brain and done you a heckin' bamboozle, don't worry, you're not the only one. It took me a long time to wrap my head around hearsay for a non-hearsay purpose. Let's just say that the purpose of today's podcast was to bust the myth that hearsay can never be used in court, and I think we can all consider that myth busted. Thanks for listening.